Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I am Bill Barnwell. Later on, we're going to talk about Arthur Smith. I have some thoughts on what happened with Bijan Robinson and Arthur Smith's subsequent quotes about the Bijan Robinson situation. But first, one of my favorite guests is back on the show. Coming up with some possible trade candidates, we're going to talk about where those players should go before the Halloween trade deadline next week. Joining me for that, my friend from CBS, it's Will Brinson. Mr. Brinson, how are you?
Bill, what's going on, man? I hope you are doing well. I love the idea. I think I love the idea of a trade deadline on Halloween. Thank goodness that the trade deadline, thank goodness for the inefficiency of the NFL league office, which requires that all business be conducted by 4 p.m. Eastern so they can scoot. It's like the post office or something here. Like, so you can scoot, is this like a government, they got to get out of here at 5, guys. The NFL.
The NFL shares a fax machine with someone else, and they have the fax machine from 4:01 on. So it's got to be done by 4, as the Browns famously found out with the A.J. McCarron attempted trade a couple years ago.
Oh, God. All right. So what, man, that one was great. Almost as good as the, was it the Elvis Dumervil? There's an actual fax machine involved, like John Elway, John Fox, and Elvis Dumervil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe they had to franchise him and didn't get the fax machine paperwork done in time, and then he left and signed with the Ravens, if I'm not
mistaken. That's right. It is, like, hilarious to imagine John Elway and John Fox trying to operate a fax machine at, like, 3:59 p.m. Eastern time. Knowing that, what button do you press? Like, come on, man. Like, Elway in a leather jacket and John Fox just like throwing his hands up in the air. I think Fox is the coach then.
I'm willing to believe that John Fox was.
It may have been Kubiak, actually, at that point in time.
Someone who I don't trust to use a fax machine.
right. John Elway smashing this fax machine with his hands. The A.J. McCarron one was great, too. That was as a Hugh Jackson special. Hard to believe that he couldn't properly orchestrate a trade for A.J. McCarron, the same man who, when Al Davis died, decided to just give up everything for Carson Palmer and a 500 season.
Well, all those trades worked out great. A.J. McCarron ended up becoming a superstar. Carson Palmer saved the Raiders. And we're, in that vein, going to save several NFL teams today, Will. We are going to identify some of your ideal trade candidates, and then we're going to figure out where those players should go. So, of course, we have plenty of players to discuss. Some players, unfortunately, have been sidelined by injury who might have been candidates. I'm thinking about Jeremy Chinn in Carolina, James Conner in Arizona, Zach Ertz also in Arizona, actually. But plenty of other players who could be on the market. We saw Kevin Byard get traded to the Eagles earlier this week. So let's run through them. Well, let's start. Give me a player you expect, or you think should be traded next week before the trade deadline at 4 p.m.
Yeah, I think should is the proper way to put it, Bill, because expecting NFL trades is not a profitable business. Yes. I mean, we have seen like several of them several pretty fairly high profile trades, but you know, if you go and you sort by the standings by conference, I mean, you know, even the Patriots and the Broncos, the worst teams, like the Panthers and the Cardinals are out of it, but not, they're just 3 games back of a wild card spot. You know what I mean? Like it's just the trade deadline so early that it's oftentimes difficult to actually see these manifest themselves. But, you know, I just pulled off a trade in a dynasty league with my buddy Dave Richard, and we're playing each other this week. So why not recreate that in real life? The Titans and the Falcons are playing, and since Bijan Robinson has a boo-boo on his belly, why not send Derrick Henry to the Atlanta Falcons? Reunite with his old pal Arthur Smith. They need a better running game. I actually don't think that the Falcons are necessarily a trading partner, but it would make life easier if you wanted to beat the Titans to give up something for Derrick Henry. And I do think Derrick Henry is a prime candidate to be traded. Like, this is a guy who is an older running back. Mm-hmm. The Titans are, you know, you just traded Kevin Byard, which indicates that, and I think it was Cameron Wolf maybe who sort of reported that it's the implication of the report was that the Titans are prepared to retool, reboot, whatever you want to call it. You're not gonna blow it all up and tank, but they're starting They're starting either Will Levis or Malik Willis or playing both this week. Mm-hmm. We've seen those guys play in the preseason and Malik Willis some in the regular season. It's not pretty. No. I expect Atlanta to win the game. And, you know, if you're blowing things up and you've got Derrick Henry, who's just incredible running back, you know, when he's healthy and he's playing behind a good offensive line, he can mm-hmm. change games. I mean, mm-hmm. he is that dominant. Why not find a contender that needs a better running game? Send him there. I mean, it's Tampa Bay, maybe. I don't know. Like send him somewhere where he can really cut loose for a team that should have some leads against maybe in a bad division mm-hmm. and get something in return. You take Derrick Henry off the Titans. And, you know, I know that they are currently 2-4, so they're not in the pole position for the top spot in the mm-hmm. draft. But I mean, this is a team that could backdoor their way pretty quickly to Caleb Williams or Drake May if you took away their best piece on offense.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, like you said, out with a high ankle sprain that could linger for weeks. And hey, maybe it lingers for 2 months, you know, if they really want to push for the Drake May, Caleb Williams tier here. I think Derrick Henry trade makes total sense. He's not even playing, you know, the sort of workload you would expect for him. Mm-hmm. He's splitting snaps. Most weeks he's trailing Tyjae Spears in snaps. Spears has been really the lead running back, or at least the lead snap getter at running back for this offense for stretches so far this season. I don't think, unless Bijan Robinson has the worst cold you've ever seen, I don't believe that the Falcons hit a running back. But I could think of two teams in the AFC who could very justifiably add Derrick Henry to their roster for entirely different situations. But both of them have lost their starting running back for the season. And that's the Baltimore Ravens, who are currently using Gus Edwards and Justice Hill as their primary backs, and the Cleveland Browns, who have a big shrug of the shoulders at quarterback and have lost Nick Chubb for the year. Jerome Ford is now hurt. I think he has a low-grade high ankle sprain, which is a interesting combination of words. It's like when I worked for ESPN Insider as a member of Football Outsiders. They seem paradoxical to me, but... Yeah. Browns now down their top two backs. Kareem Hunt was signed. He is now presumably the lead back in Cleveland, but he was not good last year, has not been great this year. I think you could very justifiably say, hey, let's trade for Derrick Henry. He's going to be the focal point of our offense, whether it's PJ Walker, whether it's Deshaun Watson. And, you know, we're going to lean on him through the rest of the year. And then, you know, we'll see about next year with him having a big contract, Nick Chubb having a big deal. We'll see who's healthy in 2024. But I think renting Derrick Henry for a team that, you know, whose coaching staff, whose front office may have playoff or fired, you know, outcomes here, I think that makes total sense.
I agree completely. And, you know, Cleveland, I'm going to write about this, and my pal Brady Quinn got in an internet screaming match or internet battle over this, but it's like, is Deshaun Watson definitely going to like just play, or is he like, what's his deal? Cause he doesn't really have to. But I think that, Cleveland makes a ton of sense. I also think, Bill, you could make the case that if you're the Chiefs, the Bills, the Dolphins, or the Bengals, all have running backs that they believe in. I think all have, you know, whether Pacheco has stepped up and obviously Clyde Edwards-Helaire on his way out, but, you know, Raheem Mostert's been fantastic, but
you don't believe in Clyde Edwards-Helaire still?
No, I've given up. I think they should have, possibly, I don't know, who could they have possibly drafted instead?
Who was the next pick in the draft that year?
Was it T. Higgins?
it was T. Whoops. Higgins.
Whoops.
That's why there's no luxury picks in the NFL. The next time you hear someone say, "Oh, we were picking at the end of the first round, we could pick whoever we want." Don't do that.
We just won the Super Bowl. It's a luxury pick. It's like, no, you could have had a receiver that is so good the Bengals can't afford to re-sign him.
Yes.
But if you're Kansas City, Miami, Buffalo, the Bengals, probably
the Cowboys too.
Yeah, the Cowboys. I mean, anybody. I was thinking specifically in the AFC, just because you're like looking at Baltimore and Cleveland, think they might go get Derrick Henry, and that's a problem for us. Why not go rent him yourselves? Or if you're in the NFC, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Philadelphia, Derrick Henry, that was bandied about a bunch before the season. Mm-hmm. They just made a trade with the Titans, so there's some rapport there with the front offices. you know, the Lions, David Montgomery's been awesome. but he's hurt. And I think it's pretty a nebulous timeline for his injury. Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, it's clearly they still don't trust him as like a full blown workhorse. So right. why not put Derrick Henry behind that line when you're 5-2 and you feel like you've got a real chance to make a run. And as Dallas, as you said, I think, you know, I can't imagine you're going to have to give up unless it just turns into a bidding war because all these teams are interested. It seems unlikely that you'll have to give up a ton to get Derrick Henry, you know, running back, older, you know, not under team control for a long time. You go and get Derrick Henry, put him behind a decent offensive line, and one, he's going to bolster your running game, even if you've already got a good running game. Like, I didn't even think you could suggest San Francisco like a crazy, crazy world to go get him. But then two, it's like, man, you get a lead in the playoffs with Derrick Henry on your team, and that the other defense is just in trouble.
Yes. You feel very good about your chances. I mean, you're 100% correct, Will. The only reason I think there won't be a bidding war is just because there might be so many backs available, you know, over the course of next week. Just thinking about when I wrote about this for ESPN, the guys who I had on my list, Dalvin Cook, Dearness Johnson, who I think could be a Browns trade candidate as well as the number three guy on the Jags, Henry, Josh Jacobs, who's a free agent after the season,
Saquon
Barkley, who's a free agent after the season, Cordarrelle Patterson, Jamal Williams, who's now buried on the depth chart, James Conner, if he does end up getting traded, and Zach Moss, who's been incredible for the Colts and who, you know, doesn't have a role there really now, or probably won't have a long-term role with Jonathan Taylor under contract for the next couple of years. So if you need a running back, I wouldn't fault anyone for going out and getting Derrick Henry, but you should have, you know, really, you should be spoiled for choice. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, you know, one or two teams at the very least go out and trade for a running back to supplement their roster over the next week.
I agree completely. I had Saquon Barkley on the list. I actually had Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the list too. It's just like maybe you call the Bengals and say like, hey, don't trade Clyde Edwards-Helaire for T. Higgins just for,
let's trade a first round pick for a second round pick. That's a good trade for you.
Yeah. Hey, we'll give you a first round pick for a second round pick. You hope Mike Brown's just asleep at the wheel, like Duke Tobin's like not paying attention. And it's like, these idiots are offering us a first round pick for a second round pick, but they, you don't see the asterisk there. That's actually Clyde Edwards-Helaire for T. Higgins.
It could work. It could work. Those fax machines, very, very tricky, for the elderly to operate. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there is no competition. And right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a Jet's Pizza location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be. Give me your next trade candidate, Will.
Okay. Do you want me to go? I've got, I can't believe I wrote this one down. Actually, we'll go a little more simple. Actually, no, you know what? We'll go crazy. What if you're the Chicago Bears and you're 2-5?
Okay.
You are quote unquote trailing the Cardinals and the Panthers. And I'm not sure who you're going to, make this trade with, honestly. And that's part of the problem. I was sort of thinking about it, but maybe the Atlanta Falcons would actually make a lot of sense here.
I think I see what you're going to do here, Will.
We're going to trade Justin Fields.
Wow.
Yeah. Get it's real both. Spicy it's here, both. Bill. I mean, okay. Do you get a first round pick for Justin Fields right now? Justin Fields in Arthur Smith's offense sounds fun.
Sure.
And it's hard to make Arthur Smith's offense fun. I mean, Desmond Ridder is not fun right now. I know he's supposed to be a winner. And win games and be like my whole vision for the Falcons this year was sort of like a homeless man's Titans team that was the number one seed. Bijan playing the role of Derrick Henry, Des Ridder playing the Ryan Tannehill role.
Yep.
And it just hasn't panned out for them completely. I mean, they're still in first place in the division, 4-3, but I mean, they are walking such a fine line. And that's what the Titans did too. It's like, keep games close, try to steal them at the end. I just feel like, you go get Justin Fields and How does that not upgrade your offense significantly, even if you're just using him as primarily a runner and not necessarily trying to make him into a full-blown pocket passer the way that Chicago has for the first 5 weeks of the last 2 years?
Yes, I see the logic. I understand they need to upgrade a quarterback, no question. And I think Justin Fields in a vacuum is much better player than Desmond Ridder. But, you know,
it's far-fetched.
Of course it's far-fetched. One part of me says you can't really learn the playbook that quickly. But then I remember Sam Bradford, that Vikings game where he got traded to the Vikings. Like 8 days later, he started week one. They won, I believe on Sunday, or I think it was Monday Night Football. They won at home. He was fine all year. Adrian Peterson got hurt, ended up being a mess of a season for the Vikings for different reasons. But maybe he could learn the playbook in 2-3 weeks or be at least a functional part of the offense in a couple of weeks. If you're the Bears, like leaving the Falcons aside, do you think you get more for Justin Fields right now?
Yeah, that was my biggest hangup.
Yeah, do you get more for him during the offseason once you know that you have that path to Caleb or Drake May? Because I think that's my concern is let's say you trade Justin Fields and then
Secret Bajet Man wins four games and you have no picks. Well, yes. you do have the Panthers pick too. They're 0-6. But yes,
but let's say you end up without one of the first two picks in the draft.
Right.
You're feeling pretty dumb if you make that deal. So
yeah,
I feel like it makes more sense after the year. But I think if you're talking about Justin Fields as a fit for another roster in 2024, I mean, the first team off the list are the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I agree completely with that. By the way, just worth noting that I think Pat Linder, the New York Daily News, just reported this, or just Brian Daboll says he told Saquon Barkley directly last week that a trade isn't going to happen. Boo!
You know, well, I heard Mike Vrabel told AJ Brown that he was not going to get traded. How'd that go for Mike Vrabel?
Well, I was going to say, you were going to say how'd that go for AJ Brown? The answer is quite well.
It went great for AJ Brown.
For Mike Vrabel. Well
for Mike Vrabel and John Robinson.
Well, John Robinson got fired, so not go well for him. Mike Vrabel, I will never forget that scene in the draft room where Mike Vrabel's just like what the bleep over and over and over again. Just irate that AJ Brown got dealt. How about a more realistic trade scenario?
Please.
Involving a team with a high draft pick that will go to the Bears. That needs to get some draft capital. And I think it's a really interesting conundrum for the Panthers. I mean, I don't know about you, Bill. I'm not saying I live in Carolina. I grew up a Panthers fan, but I'm not I don't really care.
You have several Panthers tattoos. You don't need to hide that.
right.
You have a Jake Delhomme face tattoo that covers your entire back. I've seen it before.
I mean, man, Jake DeLome. Steve Smith, it would be a Steve Smith tattoo if anything. I'm scared of needles, but yeah, I have a no regrets tattoo across my neck with Jake DeLome's face as the D there. I think that the Panthers, if I'm Scott Fitterer and I'm contemplating how to maximize value on my roster, I am petrified that if I trade away my veterans that people are interested in, like Brian Burns and Jeremy Chan, I guess you can't do now, but all these players that you could trade away, that's the suggestion. It's like, let's reboot and start it all over. And, get all the draft capital you can. It's like every time you trade somebody away, that makes it more likely you are going to end up giving the Bears the first overall pick. And I know that it's already done. You can't trade Brian Burns to the Bears and be like, can we have that pick back? The Bears are not gonna,
I thought that's where you were going for a second. I was kind of
intrigued. Really? I mean, that the pick the Panthers gave to the Bears is currently the most valuable piece of trade commodity in the NFL, I think.
So if you call the Bears who desperately need pass rushers and have a quarterback who they believe in, if you were like, hey, we'll give you Brian Burns for our first round pick back, if you're the Bears, do you hang up immediately? I think you have to, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Panthers are 0-6 and don't show it and are 3-point underdogs to the Houston Texans at home coming out of their bye. And the Texans have a rookie quarterback and haven't been favored on the road since JJ Watt was playing for them. it's at least 3+ years.
Sure.
And it's just hard to find a path where the Panthers don't give away a top three. I mean, definitely a top five pick, right? I mean, yeah. Carolina, Arizona, Chicago.
I will check with my overlord, the football power index, on this topic, but the Bears have that pick has a 87% chance of finishing in the top five.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're Chicago, you're like, look, I mean, maybe if you're like, we'll give you Derek Brown and Brian Burns for that pick. And that's like too much.
Yeah, probably. Right? But what was your trade going to be then?
Oh, I was just going to trade Brian Burns. I don't know where I was going to trade him.
Well, we can talk about it. Brian Burns makes sense to be dealt, of course. This is a guy who the Bears turned down, I believe, according to Albert Breer, two first-round picks and I think a two as well from the Rams last year. Now, it would have been a year later.
But the Panthers turned it down. Whoops.
Panthers turned it down, which then, of course, Brian Burns and his agent are like, hey, if I'm so good that you're not willing to take two first-round picks and a second-round pick for me, pay me that much money. And the Panthers are like, yeah, we don't think you're that good, which hard to say when you turn down that offer. So a year later, the Panthers are in maybe an even bigger mess than they were this time a year ago. At least they had their own first-round pick. And Brian Burns is now a year closer to free agency. I don't think they're going to get the same level of offer they would have got in years past, but there are plenty of teams who would love to add a very talented, I would say superstar or close to superstar, young just 25 edge rusher,
too,
just 25 years old, a key player. One team comes to mind for me, and I don't know that they would take this big of a swing. I don't think they would, but given their GM's background, I wonder, and that is the Detroit Lions, where you have Aiden Hutchinson, who has been incredible this year. He is a defensive player of the year candidate to me. And I think in the top
three. But he's got short arms, Bill. And he went to Michigan and played for Jim Harbaugh, so you can't take him first overall.
Well, he's probably been cheating for the last few years. He's probably been spying the opposing team signals. So
yeah, I don't actually think I knew that you couldn't advance scout in person in college football. That's kind of stupid.
That's the thing is like I think people talked about scout. This. It's not that the infraction is like that dramatic. It's just that they broke this rule. It also seems kind of weird and dumb. But that's another conversation for another day.
Yes,
you know, no. If the Lions think they can go for it, you have Brad Holmes, who was in the Rams front office for several years, where they were very happy to trade first round picks, especially late first round picks away.
F them picks.
For young players on rookie deals who are playing key positions. Brian Burns lines up there. I know Dan Campbell came out today and said, we're not going to mess with this team. And they're not messing with the team. They're going out and getting a player who is going to add to their roster. I could say, you know, I wouldn't fault them for taking a swing on Burns. But I think there's other teams as well who could factor in and offer the Panthers something significant, like you said, to recoup some of that draft capital for probably Carolina's best player.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you could make the case if you are, and I'm not suggesting that any of these teams like desperately need pass rush, but like Brian Burns on a, he's on his fifth year option, right? He's on the tag. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like you can tag him after you trade for him. I mean, you're not going to lose that ability, or you can sign him to a long-term deal. But, if you were so inclined, I mean, just Kansas City, Miami, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, Detroit, like any of these teams that are, you know, if you have five wins or more right now, you have to consider yourself, and I don't know what the football power index overlords say, but I would think that any team that has five wins, which means that you have two or less losses, just by virtue of the 7-week schedule, you are probably in the 70 percentile range of making the playoffs at the very least, 60, whatever it is. And if you're in that spot, why not push in a little bit in a year where, yes, there are very good teams in the NFL. I mean, Philadelphia and San Francisco, Detroit are, and in Dallas to a certain extent. I don't know. Like, Philadelphia's looked shaky. San Francisco's lost two in a row. Dallas has looked shaky at times. Like, I think if you're, you know, in the AFC, you know, the Jets lose Aaron Rodgers. Buffalo is, you know, 4-3 now. The Chiefs haven't been that great on offense, but certainly could. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, right? But I mean, like, if Jacksonville winning the Super Bowl this year wouldn't be that crazy, given just how kind of wide open the whole league feels, which is to say, like, if you're in contention, if you got five wins or more, why not go and get a pass rusher like Brian Burns and rent him and see just how, just see what your upside is? Because even if you have to give up a first round pick, it's going to be a late first round pick. Mm-hmm. And if you win a Super Bowl because you shoved in and got Brian Burns, you know, or, you know, like worst case scenario, you lose in the divisional round and you give up like 25 for Brian Burns, who you will have another, you know, 2 years of control if you so want it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's a very viable case. I wonder if you're the Rams, who we know wanted Brian Burns this time last year. They're 3-4. They've frankly been better than their record.
They should be 5-2, honestly.
Don't know how they lost to the Steelers last week. I don't want to talk about the Steelers. They're
disgusting.
They're infuriating me.
They're so annoying. I had them against the Ravens against the spread, but then I had the Rams too. It's like, how did Rams -3 not happen? Like Matt Canada is like watching. I would watch like you know, you guys have at the Walt Disney Company, you guys have ESPN Ocho, all that. Yes. I want like a dedicated Matt Canada offensive coordinator feed where it's just nothing but watching Matt Canada like cautiously perplexed that his team is scoring points. like that touchdown against Baltimore, the bond to George Pickens from Kenny Pickett. He's like, all right, I'm not going to celebrate until I see like the extra point is kicked. Like he's not going to be excited. And he's also like, he's like looking around like, if anybody knows that's like not in, that's like, I didn't call that play. Like that's not really in the playbook. It's just like George Pickens is singled up on the outside. So Kenny Pickens said, screw it and like let it fly.
Kenny Pickens just checked to his own play.
Canada's like, and people are like, Matt Canada's not excited. They're scoring. He's like, he's not excited. He's confused. He's like, why is George in that painted area down there with the football? Like, what's going on?
I think that's out of bounds. I don't think you're allowed to go in there. I love on their game-winning touchdown against the Rams this week, they brought a guy in motion who almost laid out Kenny Pickens in motion and had to slow down, and they still score. It's just like, even when it's good, it's bad for the Steelers.
I've pointed this out several times, but I mean, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you. The I think it's the 2013 NC State football team that I think it was Dave Doran's first year. I think it was 2013. I'll have to double check. But anyway, NC State didn't win a single ACC game this year that I'm mentioning. And three of the offensive coaches on that team, terrible, terrible offensive team, are currently on the Steelers offensive coaching staff.
Curious. Very curious.
Probably just a coincidence.
Yes. Did we ever answer the Rams question? Do you think the Rams should consider trading?
Yeah. I think the Rams are a really good football team.
I think they're an underrated football team, and God knows they could use a young pass rusher to play alongside Aaron Donald. I know who's the guy they drafted this year? Is it Byron Young? Byron Young has looked good for them. I think he gets 11 knockdowns so far this year, or 13 knockdowns so far this year. 3 sacks, 13 knockdowns in 7 games. He's been impressive. But I mean, Brian Burns is like a cornerstone player for that team. So I would consider it. I don't know if the Rams will, but I would be certainly understand why the Panthers would make a Brian Burns trade if they get a good offer.
Absolutely. I got a combo. You want a combo of two players?
Let's we'll finish up here with a two-person combo.
This is also very unlikely to happen, at least the first half of the combination. But
that's fine.
My pal Jason LaCanfora, writing at the Washington Post this week, had a GM tell him that if there was a market, the Broncos would absolutely trade Russell Wilson. And I think the issue is there's just not like, it's kind of hard to find somebody who would trade for Russell Wilson. One, because Russell Wilson has looked, I mean, he's actually looked like kind of average this year.
Yeah. He's been fine.
A little stinky, but kind of, he's been fine. He's not, he's not worth what he's being paid.
He is the piece of meat you have in the fridge. That was the use by date was yesterday. Ew. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's probably still edible, but
How about we do like you just, it's, there's no brown spots.
No. Right. No, but you're sort of like,
or the milk. And I don't really like milk, but my 9-year-old son Robbie drinks milk a lot. And if the milk's expired, you know, you're going to, I don't want to smell it, but I'm going to like, all right. Like, you know, that it didn't smell, it smells fine.
Spells fine. That's the Russell Wilson. He is fine so far this season.
Really letting the world know about our questionable dietary habits here, Bill. I mean, I think he's been fine. I don't think that Sean Payton believes he's the guy. I sort of thought that the Broncos, until they pulled off a win this past week, that they actually might be tanking. Would have been. I was convincing myself that Bill Belichick and Sean Payton were in like a 40 chess tank off, which is like, surely these guys can't be
this bad on accident,
right? I mean, it's like, really? Like, this is what happened? I mean, I understand franchise quarterbacks, Hall of Fame franchise quarterbacks are really helpful to your career, but it's like, you're telling me that Tom Brady and Drew Brees matter that much? Like, coaching, yes. Like, I mean, and they do, but it's like, man,
I thought the coaching mattered.
Yeah, no, coaching mattered some. Apparently, it just doesn't matter at all. Like, what happens if Andy Reid gets, you know, like, lose them all? Anyway, Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy. Package them up and ship them to, oh, I don't know, the Jets?
The Jets?
I don't know. I just, the first team I saw that made sense without a quarterback. For now. I don't think the Jets are the answer. I think the problem is, it's like, what team is in contention that would be willing to give up something and take on a giant payroll situation over the next couple? Either the Jets wouldn't work because they have Aaron Rodgers coming back, in theory.
I mean, if you let me frame it this way. Let me leave Jeudy aside. Let's say, I have to look into the salary cap qualifications, but let's say the Broncos just said, hey, Russell Wilson's available. We're just giving up his contract. If you give us
free,
a swap,
free. Come get
we, yeah. If you, like, you know, you put him out on the street, you write on a piece of loose leaf, free Russell Wilson, you tape it to him, and then you wait to see if someone picks him up for the next.
Throw this slightly expired piece of meat on the street corner and see if you want it, come and get it.
Right. You can get him for a swap of, you know, a 2026 sixth round pick for a seventh round pick.
Right.
Do you think any team in the NFL would take that right now? Or do you have to attach something more valuable like Jerry Jeudy to get that contract off your books?
The problem is, anybody without a quarterback right now, except for, so like the Browns are sans quarterback, essentially, the Watson, you know, we saw, I won't name names of insiders, but there were several from several different companies who on Tuesday night after that whole Brady Quinn spat happened that were, you know, immediately like, you know, Deshaun is fighting hard to get back on the field. It's like, that sounds a lot like his agent is telling people that. Deshaun has been slandered in these streets. We must fight back. There's only one way to do that. Leaking news to the insiders.
Yes.
So, like, Cleveland doesn't really make sense because you're paying Deshaun. You can't get out of Deshaun's contract.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Jets have Rodgers.
That would be a fun challenge trade. Deshaun Watson for Russell Wilson.
Oh, dude.
There's no winners there, just losers.
everyone loses. Which team loses the most there?
I think the Broncos lose because Deshaun has fully guaranteed, whereas with Russ, you could theoretically get out of it much quicker.
Yeah.
But Deshaun Watson is younger, and he had one good game this year, so maybe you play on to that.
The defense held the Titans at 3 points. and he somehow got hurt. He got hurt in that game.
Still got hurt, even though he had good numbers in that game. There's one team, Will, I look at here. One team I think would have that conversation.
Okay, is it? There's two. I've got two candidates. It's not Atlanta, right?
It's not Atlanta.
Okay, because Atlanta, I mean, they wanted to trade for him before, but then that fell through, obviously. Oh, wait, we're talking about Deshaun. We're talking about Russell, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I would think that the one team that would have the conversation would be a 3-4 Washington team.
That is the team, the Washington Commanders, where
Russell's from Richmond, by the way.
Russell's from Richmond. Sam Howell has been topsy-turvy, I think it's fair to say. The team has a good defense. Chase Young looks great this year. They have a good pass rush. Their secondary is
Montez Sweat. Yep.
Montez Sweat is a becoming free agent. Chase Young is a coming free agent. So they have some money they need to spend, but they do have some money to work with right now. They have playmakers. I mean, I don't think anyone doubts the playmakers. And they have new ownership that wants to start over. And
Just like the Broncos' new ownership.
Just like the Broncos' new ownership. They want to start over in different ways. You know, I don't know if they want to make that kind of financial commitment to a quarterback, especially given that he's been a major disappointment. But acquiring Russell Wilson for a seventh-round pick and not having to pay any of his bonuses is very different than acquiring Russell Wilson, giving up two first-round picks and or more than two first-round picks and paying him a significant amount of money. So for
And additionally, Bill, I would say this, that it didn't work. It's like the old Arrested Development meme. It's like, it didn't work for them, but it might work for us.
Yes.
If you're Ron Rivera and Eric Bieniemy, I mean, you've got to be thinking like, all right, we're 3-4. We're in third place in the division. We feel like we are the third best team in the division. But Tampa's 3-3 and currently holding down a wild card spot. Like, there's absolutely a path to being a playoff team and saving our jobs. And what if we tie ourselves to Russell Wilson? Like, hey, this is, you know, like if you convince the front office to trade for Russell, and the front office should be worried about their jobs too. I mean, this new ownership, you could clean the whole house. And frankly, I think Marty Herney's still, I don't think he's the de facto, I don't think he's the acting GM in Washington, but I think he's still in the front office. Mm-hmm. Marty Herney, Ron Rivera, they both know real well what happens when a new owner comes in and buys a team, because they were the last ones to get fired by the new owner in mm-hmm. Carolina. You know, it's you say, look, let's go trade for Russ. If we make a playoff run and we make the postseason with Russell Wilson, we are probably saving our jobs for next year under with Josh Harris. And we've tied ourselves to Russell Wilson, and if he plays well. And so, like, I think even if it's not a smart move per se, how many times do we see this with NFL teams where they will make the front office and the coaching staffs, depending on how they, you know, interact and work together, will make moves that are more about saving their jobs than it is about what is best for the franchise from an objective perspective.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have Russ, him guaranteed for $8 million this year, or prorated $8 million this year. You'd also owe him $17 million next year, whether he's on the roster or not. If he's on the roster at the beginning of 2024, you'd owe $17 million for 2024 and $37 million for 2025. So you'd be committing to an additional $54 million. So you'd have basically the rest of the year. You'd pay him, you'd be on the hook for about $20 million for the rest of the year, or $21 million for the rest of the year for Russ, which is more than you want to pay, but not so much that it would hurt you if you saved your season and made the playoffs. So would they consider it? I think you have to at least have a conversation about it.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're Josh Harris too, I think you look at this team and say, you know, 3-4, Sam Howell is, you know, up and down, I think you called it. I mean,
he's mostly down on the ground, having been sacked by
40 times
by a passerby. he's been distracted by someone in the stands and fell down. He tripped over a leaf.
The beltways, there was like a big accident on the beltway, yes, and it just like knocked him over.
He got the wind gust from Daniel Snyder's plane flying away with the Commander's logo on it, knocked him down. Sam Howell is playing some of the weirdest football.
It really is.
I think I would say more than anything, I'm fascinated by Sam Howell. Like, I watch him play and I'm just like, okay, he's not going to escape. He got sacked over and over and over again. It's incredible. I can't imagine, like, you know, like it would be like if you were a pitcher and you could, you know, like you had a decent fastball, decent changeup, decent curveball, but every time you try to pick off throw, you threw the ball into right field. You'd be like, well, that's a problem.
Chuck Knobloch,
basically. Yeah, but not like a thing where you were able to do it and then suddenly couldn't do it. Like, you came into baseball not being able to do that and still continue to do it. Like, it's it's not the yips if it's just what your skill is. Like, right. Sam Howell, that's not the sack yips. He just can't do that. Like,
he can't not get sacked.
Right. So, I don't understand. Like, I'm so fascinated by Sam Howell that I don't really get it.
Russell Wilson may be like an older Sam Howell, an older, slower Sam Howell too, by the way. I mean,
that's fair. That is a concern for sure.
But I mean, but I do think like you're 3-4. You are in the 10th seed right now in the NFC. You're much closer to a playoff team, I think, if you're Washington than you are to bottoming out and getting one of those. I just don't think a Ron Rivera coached team with a good pass rush and the weapons they have.
Yep.
You're not gonna quote unquote catch the Bears, Cardinals, or Panthers, or Giants, or whoever else is at the bottom. Like you're going to be picking in the middle of the first round, pretty much no matter like what. And so why not, you know, go for gusto and just go get Russ and just like, it's just money. Like Magic Johnson can tweet about him. It'll be all good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing, is like, you're not giving up significant draft capital.
Right.
You're giving up like a seventh round pick or less than a seventh round pick in a swap to get him. They have $78 million in cap space next year. So
they should do this.
They're going to go out and get Chase Young a new deal. Probably they could sign Montez Sweat. They have work to do certainly, but
would you give the Broncos some kind of decent draft capital to have them throw in Jerry Jeudy? Do you want Jerry Jeudy thrown in?
They don't need a receiver.
They don't need Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, that's true.
Like they need maybe offensive line. Maybe they need people in the secondary. You're not going to get Pat Surtain as part of the deal. So, but I think, you know, it's worth taking a shot. I the more I talk about it, the more I'm talking myself into it.
Would you give up a first round pick for Pat Surtain and Russell Wilson?
Yes. Second round?
Pat Surtain's that good.
Because I think Pat Surtain is worth 2 first-round picks, and I think Russ is worth 0 picks. So average it out, you get one first-round pick. I think you could justify it, certainly. So don't think it's going to happen, but it's a fun idea.
Yeah, I dig it.
Where would you send Jeudy if you were like, okay, we have to trade Jeudy by the end of the trade deadline? Where do you think you would want to have him end up?
Steve Smith's house.
You think? What if he joined the Panthers and started wearing 89?
That's actually incredible. That would go over quite poorly. But he joins the Panthers and like next preseason is wearing 89 when Steve Smith and Taylor Zarzar are doing the Panthers preseason games, and then it's just Steve Smith is just like just melting down in the booth. I think you could. You know, it's hard. You look at these, like, I'm looking at the NFC teams, and Philadelphia, loaded at wide receiver. San Francisco loaded at wide receiver. Atlanta loaded at wide receiver, doesn't throw the football. Seattle loaded at wide receiver. Dallas loaded at wide receiver, right? I mean, yeah, maybe
Detroit as well.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, no really, you know, even Minnesota, right? I mean, Tampa Bay, like, man, everybody, the Rams, Puka, and the top 9 teams in the NFC have like 2 really good wide receivers. That's kind of crazy. So would need to be somewhere in the AFC. I don't think you can trade him to Kansas City unless you're getting you have to kind of overpay for the divisional in division trade.
But that's the most logical spot, right?
It really is. Yeah. Why not trade it? I have my gut says that you'll agree with me here, Bill, but I think people are like, you can't trade him in the division. It's like, well, if he's not great. And you're getting a pick back. Like whenever you trade in the division, you are getting a pick back from your division rival. You are, if you win the trade and Jerry Jeudy isn't great and doesn't sign with them long term, and you get a pick back from them that could be a wide receiver, like you can make a division rival worse by trading with them.
If you were the Bills, would you trade for Jerry Jeudy?
I don't think that's a problem. I think just defensive injuries are their problem. So no, but I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Do you think I would say if you can't replace Matt Milano, which you can't replace Tre'Davious White,
just load up on offense.
Just say screw it. We're going to try and score as many points as possible.
Trade for Derrick Henry and Jerry Jeudy.
I mean, that's not the worst idea, though.
It's actually not the worst idea in the world. And just be like, look, we are Ken Dorsey. Open up the play. Like you can do whatever you want, do whatever you need. You're getting Derrick Henry. You're getting Jerry Jeudy. We're giving up a couple. Like, you're not giving up first round picks. You know, you're giving up mid round picks for these guys.
Yeah.
Mid to late round picks. It's like, we can't do anything about our defense other than, you know, hope that young guys step up and, you know, we and Sean McDermott can coach him up with all the injuries that are happening.
Yep.
Screw it. Let's lean in and be the best offensive team in football.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very defensible approach from, because there's not really, you can't get a Milano replacement, but you can run the ball more effectively. You can get a number two receiver who can beat man coverage and who gets open.
Man, Gabe Davis would be a filthy number three receiver too. Like, where all of a sudden he's just like, he's like, guys, can I stop running these nine routes on every play? Nope. Keep going, Gabe.
Me, catch one. Just clearing out every single route.
Yeah. And Jerry Jeudy and Stephon Diggs just eating underneath. I mean, it's not. And then it's like, if you run, and like, you run trips with Derrick Henry in the backfield. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're giving Derrick Henry and Josh Allen, you can run a read option with those guys. My God. Yes.
Yeah, that was my argument for them in the offseason. Was I looked at what the Chiefs did. I feel like people listening to me are so sick of me telling this story, but you know, the Chiefs got a ton of too high. Their answer was to get a power back in Isaiah Pacheco instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It was to go with more 2-3 tight end sets, get bigger, and say, okay, if you're going to play light boxes against us, we're going to have this lunatic who runs like he's on fire knock you over and make you regret having, you know, seven defensive backs on the field. And I think for the Bills, you know, they didn't make the same kind of move. They went out and got Dalton Kincaid. They signed Damian Harris. They signed Latavius Murray. Those guys are decent power runners, but, you know, they're still kind of like the same offense. Like they've run more 12 with Kincaid and Knox before he got hurt, but Kincaid's on a blocking tight end. Kincaid is a move tight end.
He's a wide receiver with a tight end label.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, that can be a very valuable player, but it's not like, you know, the Chiefs have Noah Gray and Blake Bell and like dudes who are not going to be great athletic, you know, dominant players, but who can be, you know, more versatile than Kincaid is. Like, okay, like, we're going to bring in Derrick Henry. Now you have a guy who, you know, if we spread the field and you're going to match with seven defensive backs, six defensive backs, like, we're 5-on-5 with our offensive lineman against your five-man box, and we have Henry against a cornerback and a safety. Like, that is a bad matchup for you. So I think they could absolutely justify bringing in like the ultimate power back and having him be, you know, a counterpunch for defenses for the Bills.
I love it. I mean, I think that a lot of times NFL teams are too willing to stick with like the status quo and just say like, all right, we can sort of fix this as coaches. And it's like, look, your defense, this defense is, even if Von Miller turns into, you know, defensive player of the year candidate, Matt Milano is sort of the Jenga piece, copyright Dave Damashek, of that defense. Mm-hmm. Tre'Davious White's a top shelf cornerback, and you as you said, you can't replace him. There's nothing you can really do about this defense. It's not going to magically get better, and so you sort of have to just kind of make a decision to lean into the offense. And you have Josh Allen, and like you said, you can snuff out the too high problem pretty quickly by running Derrick Henry over and over again into softer boxes.
Why don't we just run every NFL team? Well, we can solve so many problems with these trades. Like, we would just let us actually run the league like Madden commissioner mode. But until then, Will, until we are actually taking over, where can people check out your thoughts on the NFL?
CBSSports.com, of course, writing there several times a week. Look at me writing again. How wonderful.
Wow.
The Pick Six podcast on YouTube, youtube.com/NFL on CBS, and then on Twitter and Instagram at Will Brinson.
Will, you know, it's always a blast. Thanks so much for coming on.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks so much to Will Brinson. I wanted to share some thoughts here on one of the more curious situations from week 7, and that was the Bijan Robinson case in Atlanta. So Bijan Robinson was not listed on the injury report all week, came into Sunday expected to play in a full role, but Bijan Robinson did not play many snaps in this game, and he was not being featured. There was really no conversation about it until the third quarter, when people started realizing, hey, Bijan Robinson is here and present, but he's on the bench. Bijan Robinson played a total of 10 snaps in this game when he had been in a rotation, but the primary back for this offense. Tyler Allgeier and Cordarrelle Patterson, who had barely played on offense this year, in Patterson's case, split the carries and the snaps for the Falcons otherwise. So we get reports as the game goes on afterwards. Bijan Robinson was not feeling well, had an illness, had a headache. In terms of the illness, it happens. Like, players get hurt at the last second or are not available at the last second. Sometimes players pull hamstrings and warm up. Sometimes you have Tyrod Taylor getting an injection from the Chargers doctor, and that caused him to collapsed. He had a lung injury, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and missed that game, which started the Justin Herbert era. That's going to happen, and you can't avoid that. And maybe this was a touch-and-go situation where you could not have control for whether Bijan Robinson was going to play even as the game started. Maybe I'm naive, but I'm willing to at least take that into account as a possibility. What I can't countenance, though, is what Arthur Smith said after the game. So reading from our ESPN article on this topic, asked why Robinson was given a carry in that situation when he hadn't played all game, Smith deferred to the play itself. Now, this is the fourth quarter. The Falcons already have completed a long pass to Kyle Pitts. I know it sounds weird. I promise you it happened. They are set up. They're getting close to field goal range. They're not quite there, but they're close. And Arthur Smith brings Bijan Robinson onto the field. He gets a handoff out of the pistol for 3 yards. Now, Smith can't know what's going to happen on the play, but this is what he said about the decision to put Robinson on the field. He was in a two-minute situation, gave us 3 yards, and it was situational football. He changes how people want to call it, and that's why. It's pretty simple. Boy, it is not pretty simple with this situation. So when he says call it, Arthur Smith, I'm assuming, is referring to the defensive side of the ball. Maybe they thought their run fits were going to be different. I'm not sure why they couldn't have had someone run inside zone or duo or whatever they ran out of pistol for, you know, a play where everyone knows you're running the football and you're setting up a game-winning field goal. It doesn't strike me as something where Bijan Robinson is going to make the biggest impact versus Tyler Allgeier or Cordarrelle Patterson in terms of football difference. So I'm skeptical that that's the case. He says he was in a two-minute situation. It was situational football. Well, there's lots of situational football situations during games. There's the two-minute warning. There's every third down. There's red zone plays. There's all these situations where someone can make an even stronger case for having Bijan Robinson in the game, and Arthur Smith chose either not to or not to hand the ball off to him in those situations. But what I find so difficult to understand about this is if you get to the fourth quarter of the game, the opposing defense knows, hey, we haven't seen Bijan all game. It's clear that he's not 100%. He's not healthy. And in fact, he's been so unhealthy that you've limited his role dramatically as this game has gone along. And your player who you love giving the ball to has zero touches deep into the fourth quarter. At what point are you risking a player's health? At what point are you saying this impossible difference of Bijan Robinson is not healthy enough to play a regular role in this game, but healthy enough to take a snap in a situation because we need it for football reasons? Which, again, I'm arguing, not only was that not a situation where he made a significant difference, but you winning or you setting up a field goal in the fourth quarter in week 8 of the NFL season to help beat a bad team on the other side of the field where you have not played well for all of that game. I think it was Tampa had 3 turnovers in the red zone, if I'm not mistaken, in this game. Or sorry, Atlanta had 3 turnovers in the game. Like not only is it that Tampa's not a great team because you've moved the ball all day on them, but your quarterback sucks and you have no hope of doing anything this season because you have a quarterback who's not an NFL caliber quarterback. Is it really worth getting those 3 yards, getting that carry from Bijan Robinson in a situation where you don't know what's wrong with him and he's physically ill and can't play his regular role? Is that really the best use of your players, or is it selling out to win what's going to be a meaningless game in a meaningless season for a team that would be heartbroken if anything happened to Bijan Robinson, and should be? Bijan Robinson is in the first year of his career. He looks like a great player. Anything that's going to jeopardize his health is something the Falcons should be avoiding. So to have Arthur Smith come out and say, oh, it's simple, it was situational football, the only way you see this as a meaningful situation is if you have no perspective, if you are so myopic to believe that Arthur Smith and the Falcons need a carry from Bijan Robinson in this situation to make a meaningful difference in their game, in their season, over the course of Robinson's career with the team. Just foolish and short-sighted, and does not speak to a head coach's ability to keep the important things about his players in perspective. Okay, we are finished up here with the Bill Barnwell Show. Next week, I believe we are doing a mailbag show, so I will be asking for your questions on Twitter. You can talk about whatever NFL topics you would like, dumb football questions, nerdy football questions, whatever you need, I'm here to help next week. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with a mailbag.